celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
I'm just looking at the schedule today. It looks like another humdinger here. Steve Garvey will be joining us, a baseball famer. Ooh. I can't say Hall of Famer because he's not a Hall of Famer, is he?
I don't know if he is.
I don't believe he is.
Yeah, I believe there's talk that he...
Are you sure?
I don't know.
We'll have to look.
I am not sure.
Terrible that we don't know that.
I think that there's talk that he may be at one time, but I don't think he is right now. But anyway, he's coming on to talk animals with us, as he has in the past. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. Also, okay, guys, everybody's researching this. Come back to the show.
we got off on Steve Garvey. I'm sorry.
A little tangent there. Well, you did it during the 70s. You did. He was like one of your...
I watched him on the Dodgers all the time.
Also on the show today, a real-life pet lawyer. This is... Everybody's looking at me. You've never heard of this before?
I know. That's all she does. She doesn't do other types of cases. Just animals.
And she's a mediator. And so when I think mediator, I think when you go to a divorce and instead of using the lawyer, which costs so much, you mediate with your spouse. I think that's what she does for pets.
Yes. It's a lot cheaper for the client.
So we'll find out more about that in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. Miss Lori Brooks, what are you doing in the newsroom? What are you working on?
Well, I'm looking at a story where there's talk about you having a certain kind of pet and the link to that pet and a specific type of mental illness. Can we draw a correlation? Yeah, we'll find out.
I'm looking at Hal. I see a correlation.
Well, you're saying there's a certain pet that makes you crazy? Okay, we're just going to have to wait. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Joey, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, we're going to give some trade secrets away. You know what? Your dog's shedding a lot. We're going to teach you a way to make it easier to get all that hair out.
Let's hit the phones first for your calls for Dr. Debbie right now. Let's go to Janice. Hi, Janice. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
How can we help you today? The whole team is here for you.
Okay. I have a 2-year-old boxer, and whenever I say, do you want to go bye-byes in the car, he used to put the leash on and walk out to the car and used to jump in. Now, if I say, do you want to go bye-byes, he'll just stand there. Or, like, he'll turn the other way for what reason, I don't know.
Okay. Well, has there been any occurrence, anything that you can think of, any kind of injury or any kind of frightening experience he's had with the car?
No. Mm-mm. Like, he used to do it, you know, like, when he was younger, and he'll go in my husband's car. And for some reason, he doesn't want to go. But he likes going in his crate. He has a crate in his other room. So I said, okay. He doesn't want to go. I said, okay, go in your room. And he'll go right in his room.
Okay. But you said he gets in your husband's car, okay?
Yes. Uh-huh. Now okay. I have an SUV. I don't know if it's a little higher. Maybe that's why.
Oh, certainly could be, yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm a reformed SUV owner myself. And I had to switch from SUVs to a van. Yeah, I'm a dog mom now. I drive a van. But for some dogs, definitely the height can be a problem. So one strategy you can try would be to kind of acclimate him to a ramp or a set of stairs. And I usually do this first away from the vehicle. Some of the great things you can do is just get one of the little doggy ramps and put it in the backyard on kind of a gradual slope that you might have.
Right.
And just, you know, use treats, reward him, get him accustomed to stepping on that, and then work up to putting it behind your vehicle. And I used one of those for my large dogs because it was just getting too hard for me to assist them and to lift them. And it was, honestly, some of these SUVs are too tall. You're trying to get them in the back. It is a huge vertical jump. So, and then I'm assuming that he's in good health. He's not having any kind of limping or...
In good health,
Okay. I would definitely look at doing that and seeing. And then always make it, you know, really positive and give him something really special when he's getting in the SUV. So whether it's...
I always bring treats, you know, and try to coax him with that, too.
Yeah, treats it up the ante. You know, I'm going to tell you, everyone cover your ears. A veterinarian's going to say to give table food. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, you know, give a little,
cheese.
You know. Cheese, it's a fabulous thing, especially those little pieces, the little blocks of cheese you can get, or string cheese. Yeah. You can tear off your individual pieces. But do that and really make that a great place to go. And then if all comes down to it and you have to join the club of being a van owner, then you can join me.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, right. Janice. Thanks for listening today. So you own a van. You're like...
I do. I'm a doggy. I'm like a doggy mama, like a soccer mom.
Soccer mom for dogs.
Yep.
Hey, Mercedes.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Stephenville, Texas.
Stephenville, Texas.
Yes,
don't
sir.
Think I've ever heard of that there. Well, I have Dr. Debbie here. What's going on with your animal?
Well, I have a female cat. She's 13 years old. And for several years, she throws up. She throws up every time she eats. We've tried everything we can think of, and I've taken her to the vet. They just really have no suggestions for me, and I thought maybe somebody there would.
Okay, absolutely. And you're tapping into a very common problem in cats, and I wouldn't be lying if I told you there's 99 more causes of vomiting in cats. So it can be a very troublesome thing to deal with, because there's not an easy answer in every situation how we need to proceed.
Okay.
For kitty in that age group, the number one thing I would always start with is I do a full health evaluation, and that would include lab work, which would check blood chemistries as well as a thyroid level, and then a blood count. And then I'd also like to get an x-ray of the belly. And that's kind of the start in what I call like doing my push-ups of a workup for an older kitty.
Okay.
With that in mind, if we don't find anything, then there's some different directions we might head. You know, for a lot of simple things that we can try, and I'm all about trying something simple, if we haven't done a thorough deworming protocol, I'll do that. It's cheap, it's easy, doesn't mean you have to see a worm for there to be some. Cats can actually have stomach worms, never pass a worm in their stool, but it can cause a chronic intermittent vomiting. So it's very easy to do something like that. But if all of our workup is looking normal, we don't really have a firm diagnosis, I kind of move into inflammatory bowel disease and dietary management. And people who have digestive problems or inflammatory bowel disease, diet is the number one way that we'll deal with problems with that. In cats, it's very similar. The problem is that they can also get some very serious problems in the intestinal tract that look like this. And there are some cancers in the gut that they can get that look very much like almost like an inflammatory bowel condition. So there's other steps beyond that, and I don't want to scare you with taking biopsies and things like that, but that can be a real direction that we might need to go. But I'd say, have you had any kind of tests or workup done at this point with your kitty?
I did that about, it's been not quite a year ago, and they didn't find anything wrong with her. She's not thin when you pick her up. She's just very, very light. She's active. She seems bright and alert. She doesn't appear to be, you know, ill, but she just throws up every time she eats.
Oh, well, gosh. And something, you know, like that that's so common and predictable, if you haven't tackled diet management and trying a hypoallergenic diet, that would be definitely something I would look at. But to vomit every time, if that does not improve with deworming or diet management, you know, I would even look into doing something like a barium study. And it's a little fun and challenging to get barium down a cat, but we can use that to help us determine if there's a problem with passage of food, if there's a blockage, something that's slowing down the emptying of the stomach or the lower GI tract, and that may be very important to help us give more solutions or more steps of what we might need to try.
Would the vet do a variant study, or would I?
Oh, the veterinarian would definitely.
Oh, the vet would do that. Okay.
Yeah, the barium study is done with an x-rays. So we give the kitty barium, and then we take x-rays and watch how that passes through the course of a normal day. So it's usually a full day type thing. Yeah, people do that. They make you drink that chalky white stuff.
Yes, just, yes. I didn't know they did that for animals. Okay.
Absolutely. And to convince a cat to do it, it could be a little bit more fun.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But
okay.
We have ways of making this happen. So
good for you.
It can be done. But it might be an important step in working up a cat who has chronic vomiting.
Okay.
So, you know, definitely a lot of possibilities there. And, you know, if we get to the end of things and we don't find an answer and we've ruled out all possible causes, in some cases I will have a pet owner that might say, well, doc, if you think it's inflammatory bowel disease, how do we treat for that?
Right.
And then we may go forward with treatment with something such as prednisone with a hypoallergenic diet. But I like to exhaust all those steps before then, if at all possible, so we make sure we're heading down the right diagnosis. Because, yeah, it is a lot of different causes for vomiting in kitties. But I think it's definitely frequent enough that I would urge you to you know, step back into that veterinary office and knock on that door and say, hey, we got to do something here.
Okay. And I am concerned because she's so tiny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if she's getting the enough nutrition in her diet, you know. And she's older. So I think I will. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate so much this information, and I'll get her back into the vet.
Please keep us posted. We actually have one of those cats here, too.
I will let you know if I find a solution for this.
Thanks, Mercedes.
Awesome. I thank you.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
I'm Amy Lou Harris. Keeping a dog on a chain or in a pen is about the worst thing a person can ever do to him. It goes against everything a dog is: social, a pack animal, eager to please. Chaining a dog hurts his body and his mind. It's actually a form of animal abuse, a terrible punishment for just being born. Please look out for any dog penned or chained. Talk to people about how to keep a dog inside. Make him part of the family. Everyone will be happier. Thank you for being a dog's best friend.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book, no matter what genre. Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio.
Welcome, my friend. Grab your pet. Bring him around the radio. Remember, you can ask your questions directly from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Free.
It's a really cool app, too. It's one of those apps that you could spend a few hours on and lose yourself in.
Yes, those are fun.
And what are you working on, Lori Brooks?
Coming up, we're going to talk about most popular dog names, male and female dog names for last year, and some of the new foodie names that have entered the list for our pets. Coming up.
I wonder if Max is still on the top of the list.
That's always a big one for many years.
We'll find out in just
Max
a couple of minutes.
Max and Bella.
Max and Bella are usually... Okay, we'll find out in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. You have to stick around for that. Let's go to the phones for your calls right now. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm super.
I am calling. We've got a cat. He's about 2.5 years old, and he recently lost his companion.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if we should get him another one or if he's more happy. I don't know how to tell if he's more happy without one. And I'm having a hard time deciding.
Well, how's he been behaving since the loss of the other kitty?
Well, the thing is, he's more affectionate with my husband and I. But other than that, he seems like he's pretty lonely.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because we know that animals grieve when they've lost a friend in the household. Some don't, and some kind of, truck right along and, you know, assume a closer bonding relationship to the people in the home. And that may be going on to some degree, but there's that loss of that activity time, the playing, the chasing.
Right.
And that's when some kitties can certainly benefit, or even dogs, you know, they'll benefit from having a new friend in the home. What's hard to know is there's kind of a no set rule as how long an animal will grieve. Some don't grieve much visibly. Others, it could be weeks or even months that I have seen where we've run into problems where a pet won't eat, can be very depressed. Their household behaviors completely change out of the norm. So I'd say that, it's really partly a family decision if you are looking to get another cat. But as far as if he seems to not have that level of interaction, if he seems kind of sluggish around the house, he may benefit from having another friend. And they're just like us. You know, there's not a replacement of a cat or a dog in the home with a new one. It's a new personality. So, you know, they'd have completely different dynamics and different way of interacting with each other. But, it would be something to consider. And now, as far as if you're seeing, you know, more of the grieving behavior and how to kind of help him cope with that, ideally, I like to get them past their visible grieving, at least what we can perceive, before we introduce another animal.
Okay.
And that's mostly just, doing a lot of interactive time, scheduling play sessions, even making it more fun and interesting for food instead of just sitting the food out there, make the kitty work for it and hide little treats and toys.
Uh-huh.
We can use pheromones, those kind of soothing, non-smelling scent hormones that can be relaxing for cats. That can help to kind of ease them through a difficult time.
Okay.
But in the end, if it's time and you feel it's right to get another kitty, you may find that your kitty kind of changes a little bit personalities when there's a newcomer in the home. The hierarchy changes completely. So right now you mentioned that he's a little bit closer and cuddlier with you guys. That can always change when there's the loss of one cat in the home and we bring in another one. So I would support your decision, and of course, we're always an advocate of adopting to save a life.
We went and looked the other day, and we found a kitten and a four-year-old, and we couldn't decide between the two.
Oh, well, that's a gimme. That's a gimme. You're talking about a human four-year-old and a kitten?
Yeah.
No, a four-year-old cat and a 10-week-old kitten. And our cat, is 2.5, so right in the middle of that. And he's pretty playful still. But,
yeah, and you can certainly, you can introduce an adult cat into the home, but in most cases, you find a little bit less resistance within the kitty hierarchy if we do bring a younger cat into the home. But not to say it can't work with an adult kitty.
Right.
Would you recommend a female or a male, doctor?
What is the kitty you have now, male or female?
Male, yes, but he is neutered.
He's neutered, yeah. I actually like a male-female combination, and that goes across for cats and dogs. A lot will be the personality, too, of the kitty. So, I'd look for a prospective new kitty that's, very adaptable with different situations. So we want to see a cat that doesn't shy away from a noisy situation or other animals. And you can kind of pick these things up when you're looking at a cat, either in a shelter situation or a home if you're adopting, just to see how they react with some of the different sights and sounds.
Okay.
Sarah, will you please send us a picture of your new family member? We like to post those on the website here.
Absolutely. We've got great pictures. I would love to. What's the site?
Head on over to animalradio.com. All of our addresses are over there, and just send it to any one of us or me, and I'll make sure it's posted. Every time a new listener or a listener gets a new family member, we like to post those on the website so everyone can see and we can share, because this is all about celebrating our connection with our pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Crowds of bean-throwing well-wishers recently gathered at the Ueno Zoo in Tokyo. They showered the zoo's 7 gorillas with roasted soya beans while shouting a traditional Japanese blessing. The yelling and flying beans were a bit of a nuisance until the gorillas realized how tasty they were. One gorilla handler explained that this act would help the gorillas live long and healthy lives and also help increase the gorilla population by helping the males and females get along better. Throwing roasted beans is usually reserved for humans in Japan, but these gorilla fans were happy to do whatever they could to help. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. Looking for a link to help explain mental illness, some new research out shows that growing up with a cat in the family is a commonality among people who sooner or later develop schizophrenia. Of course, this research merely shows a link rather than a cause. Researchers theorize that the parasite Toxoplasma T. gondii, which is found in cats and can be passed on to humans, could play some role in the development of the schizophrenia, in this case with the connection with cats. In addition to schizophrenia, T. gondii is also linked to miscarriages, fetal development disorders, blindness, and in some cases, death. So researchers say they're suggesting keeping cats indoors since this T. gondii can be transmitted through neighboring cats. And also they suggest keeping litter boxes covered since it can be transmitted to humans if you accidentally come in contact with cat feces. Well, as we humans become closer and closer to our pets, our ways of saying goodbye to them are at long last evolving some. All signs are showing that many people are now choosing to have their animal companions put down at home as we become more sensitive to what our pets might be thinking and feeling. And it's creating a fast-growing in-demand service out there. One online directory of veterinarians who perform in-home euthanasia services reports that over the past 5 years, their directory has grown to more than 350 listings throughout the country, and they say they're adding up to 5 more people who do this each month. Rover.com has released the results on its most popular dog names survey. Now, the top 3 male dog names in order are Buddy, Charlie, and Jack. And for females, they are Bella, Lucy, and Daisy. But here's where it gets interesting, friends. This year, there was a 37% increase in dogs with food-themed names. These names were Kale, Coconut, Vino, and Whiskey. By the way, the survey also revealed that 94% of people considered their dogs family, and 74% identified with the term pet parent rather than dog owner. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. Celebrating our connection with our pets. Just a couple of minutes, Joey Volani, the dog father, tells us how to get that hair out of your dog that's still there. Should have been gone by now, but the seasons are changing so fast for most of the country that Well, the hair's kind of confused, wouldn't you say? Is that how you would say it?
I guess you could say it that way. And this is a professional trick. This isn't, you know, no homegrown trick here. This is one of the things that I keep in the back of my toolbox so I can, you know, charge people for. So we're giving our trade secrets here.
You shouldn't do that. You can't give out your trade secrets on the radio. You'll lose all your business, right?
And you're going to piss off a lot of other groomers.
Yes, most definitely.
What are you going to do? We could, you know, we'll figure out ways. We'll figure out more creative ways to do some other things.
Great. In just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Steve Garvey. This is his third appearance on Animal Radio. At the time, he had a 140-pound Rottweiler.
Wow. That's a big dog.
It was a baby dog.
That's
they
a
just
big dog.
Got, just got mm-hmm. Spartacus. And that was about 2 years ago.
Yes,
you might remember.
I remember that. Yes.
So,
see, I used to watch him back in the early 70s when he played with
Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Yeah. Yeah, he was first base.
Yep, yep. Did you know they named a school after him?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were going to, it was either going to be the Elton John School or the Elvis Presley School or the Steve Garvey School. This is for real, and they picked Steve Garvey.
Wow.
Steve Garvey Junior High.
Over Elton John?
Over Elton John.
Wow.
And Elvis, of course. Okay, we're off track. Let's head to the phones where we have Deborah Hamilton. Hi, Deborah. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you all?
Very good. For the listeners, you know this already, but for the listeners, Deborah is a pet lawyer or a pet mediator. And think of your first divorce when you didn't want to spend the money on the lawyer and you went to a mediator who kind of helped you work things out with your spouse. That's sort of what you do with pets?
That is exactly what I do with pets, and I usually do it in divorce as well because most of the time the people who are divorcing can deal with splitting the furniture and the kids, but the dog, not so much. It's usually the last best thing they did together, so each of them want to keep it.
Wow.
Or they want to make sure you pay for it if you're going to keep it.
Yeah, well, I would imagine I stay together with my spouse for the pets, actually.
Many people do.
Oh, do you ever have any cases where no one wants the pet?
I do, and you know, I also help them find someone who can give the pet a good home because
wow.
There's usually someone they've never even considered that will give the dog a good home, and I also help people make plans for their pets if, in fact, something happens to them. So this is just part and parcel of what I do.
Like estate planning or trust planning for the pets?
Well, there are pet trusts in almost every state. I think there are only two holdouts that don't allow pet trusts. And you should really make a pet trust because I have a program called MAAP. It maps the plan for your pets. But it makes you aware of the fact that if you're not dead yet, all the plans in your will don't come to fruition. So you really need to make a plan before you die and after you die because otherwise your pets might be set adrift.
Ooh.
And that's why you need the map.
Joey, you need to think about that because you got Gurney. And Gurney's, how old is Gurney?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I think I've been saying 38 for a few years now. But between 38 and 42. But I look at it like this. Every man for... And once I die, it's every bird
every man,
for
every
itself.
Every bird for themselves.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
Birds need the care more than anything else. If he's a bird, he needs the care more than anything else. I have a lot of clients who are pet parrot owners. And it's really important. Or horse owners, very important because they're not easy to place.
What other pet cases do you deal with?
I deal with people who are having issues with their breeders or with their handlers if they're show people.
So somebody might have a problem with a dog that they bought from a breeder and
right.
You will mediate between the two?
I will mediate because, quite frankly, the AKC doesn't get involved in any sort of civil dispute between a breeder and an owner. And it costs so much to take somebody to court. And really, the dog is, you know, you bought it for $1,500. You're going to spend $10,000 to get your $1,500 back if you go to court, or even $1,000, how much you're going to get back. So if you mediate, you both pay half of what I charge because I'm a neutral, and I help you come to a resolution that works for both of you. It's a win-win. So I charge about $300 an hour. That means $150. You can't hire an attorney for $150 an hour anywhere. Mm-hmm. And you get to have somebody listen to your story. And in doing so, when I'm listening to your story, the other person's hearing it, and it gets transmitted in a way that they can it's palpable to them. They can understand it. And I can get to a resolution with them that they create, because if they don't create the resolution, it doesn't hold up.
Do any of these end up in court where they just can't mediate and you have to be a lawyer, lawyer?
I don't practice litigation anymore, so if it ends up in court, it's not with me. However, most of the cases that I've worked on that then may not work out and go to court, they have less time in court, less expensive, because they've gotten to have their say. And so the judge is just deciding the last two things that they couldn't agree on. But everything else was said, and they're reality tested in mediation, so they know exactly what the bottom line is. And though they can't get there maybe in mediation, the court, they fly through court. It's much less expensive. I have barking dog issues.
Oh, yeah.
I have dog park issues, groomer issues, big in veterinary malpractice, because I'm trying to actually shift the paradigm in veterinary malpractice, because the insurance companies really don't let veterinarians talk to their clients if the client is threatening or anything like that. However, 9 times out of 10, if you sit down with an angry pet owner, the veterinarian and the pet owner can come to a solution that works for both of them, and then the pet owner doesn't get on social media and trash the vet, and you can find a resolution much earlier. But a lot of the insurance companies still hold fast to the idea, let them sue you.
Where do you practice?
I practice in Westchester County, New York. You can reach me at my website, www.hamiltonlawandmediation.com.
And we'll put links to Deborah's website over at animalradio.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. That's so cool.
You're very welcome. Anytime you want to chat about it, I will be happy to be on. You take care, and thanks so much.
Put her in our Rolodex.
Vinnie Penn coming at you with another Party Animal segment on Animal Radio. Hope you're enjoying your day. I want to talk to you about a dog that lives in the house on the other, through my backyard, into the backyard beyond mine, and next door. He's a dog I'd like to name Rooster. I'd like to go over and meet this family. They've only lived there for 2 years now. And find out the name of the dog and say, might I suggest you change his name from King or Rover or whatever it is to Rooster? Because he just loves to wake up the neighborhood, doesn't he? He loves to do it like we're all living in the country. Rooster just wants to be out there barking soon as the sun comes up. When the sun comes up, does it make Rooster have to move his bowels? Is that what it is? Is the sun an instigator for a bowel movement? Because it's the same time every morning. The owners don't seem to mind. They let Rooster go and go and go and go. I think if he stopped, they would actually come out and hit Rooster's snooze button to get him to go all over again. Same time every morning. And for a long time, I've never even heard someone yell to him to come back into the house or to, you know, to quiet down or throw him out some sort of a bone. I've got to go over there and find out his name and change it to Rooster. Maybe I'll leave in their mailbox the old Alice in Chains song. They come to see the rooster. You know, sometimes when I do these segments, I get ideas. Maybe you do too. Maybe that's not such a good thing. Vinnie Penn, Party Animal, Animal Radio.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more. You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
You're on with Dr. Debbie.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, really good. How about you today?
Good, good. I'm stuck down here in Houston in traffic, but I'm doing good.
Oh, gosh. Well, what kind of critter do you have, Patrick?
We've got a wolf at the house. He's a Arctic wolf, timber wolf, I believe. He's about five years old.
He's not a hybrid. He's actually a wolf then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's full-blooded wolf. Of course, we got to list him as hybrid and everything like that. I guess get papers on him, but we have papers and everything on him. I spoke to my wife last night. She said he's about 140 pounds, but he's big. He's real big, but he's real slender. And I know a few other people that have got wolves that theirs are actually filled out, and I was calling to see what I could do about that.
Okay. And how's his general overall health? Have you had any issues, any problems with diarrhea, vomiting, anything going on like that?
No, none like that.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about what you feed them, because I know for a lot of listeners are probably not really aware that people keep wolves as pets.
So tell me a little bit about the world. He is really, really good. Well, we feed him like dry dog food. And my wife will treat them to scraps, you know, meat scraps and stuff like that, that have already been cooked and all that kind of stuff. That's about what he eats on his diet. I've been hearing an ad about the Dino Bite, I guess that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, I heard that ad, too.
Okay. Who hasn't heard that ad? If you haven't heard that ad, raise your hand.
So I was wondering, should we use that in order to increase the weight gain? I mean, would that help?
Okay.
And also kind of vitamin diet or something.
Yeah. Now, I guess one other question I have is he neutered or is he intact?
He's intact. He's not neutered or anything.
Okay. Because in most of at least the wolf hybrids that I see, when you compare them to actually a regular dog, they do tend to be a much leaner category of dog. So they have a lot more muscle tone, but they're more lanky. So if he's lanky, but in good weight, then I probably wouldn't be too worried about that. But if we're worried that he's really underweight, there are a couple things. And the one thing with diet with wolves is, you know, kibble alone definitely doesn't do it for the wolves or the wolves hybrids. They do need to have a little bit more of a, actually like the meat base in it. And I'm not a fan of raw diets, and my ears burn when I talk about these kind of things. But for the wolf mixes, raw meat sometimes is very important because they have such a higher need for protein and so forth. So that might be something to maybe incorporate a bit more of that. And and you're in an area that you probably don't have a veterinarian that takes care of them. Do they come out to the home, or do you ever have them taken care of?
Well, we take them down to the vet, which is only about 8 miles from the house. He loves to ride in the car. He goes crazy when he rides in the car. He just loves it. But the vet said that he looks normal, but, I mean, to us, by looking at the other wolves that we've seen and everything, he's just, I mean, to us, he's just underweight. I mean, he's got the real thick fur. It hangs down like the Arctic wolf does and everything, and he's just, I mean, to us, he just looks underweight, but he eats like a horse.
Yeah.
He really does eat good, so.
Yeah. Well, the reason I was asking about the veterinarian is one of the simplest things I would do is make sure that he does have a stool sample checked, to have a screening for parasites, because, even everyday household dogs, an undetected parasite can really rob them of a lot of not only nutrition, but also kind of rob them of, good healthy body weight. So that would be something I would definitely want to check out. And if he was a little bit more showing signs of being sickly, then I could list a whole bunch of different things that I'd look at. The reality is that with a lot of these guys, when they're not neutered, they are just in lean body mass. So unless you're planning on breeding this guy, a lot of some of the behavioral problems for dogs translate over to wolves as well. So neutering him certainly would potentially have the side effect of maybe increasing his body mass a little bit. So that might be something to think about. And wolves in general, and I think you'll probably agree, you may have a special guy there, but for most people, wolf hybrids are really not advised as pets because they can be special.
He likes tearing up magazines for some reason. I don't know why, but he loves magazines.
Hell, our Chihuahua likes to do that.
Yeah. But he's great. He's smart. I mean, he's just great. Really is.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for a lot of folks with wolf hybrids, they are not only escape artists, but they're very destructive in the home. So it sounds like you have a little special situation, but for most folks that really aren't familiar with wolf hybrids, I really don't recommend them as pets. They may be kind of cool, but unless you're really committed to having the special lifestyle and the care that goes with the wolf hybrids, I'd have to caution everyone as far as it's not something I'd recommend for just anybody.
Right.
We'll see how that goes, Patrick. And, you know, kind of the same guidelines for weight for dogs will go translate over. So if you feel good muscle tone and you don't see bones sticking out, but you just feel good lean muscle mass, then, you know, maybe your fella's just the right size. This is Dr. Debbie with Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
What's up, everybody? My name is George Lopez. I don't know how I became a crazy dog person, but I rescued Chihuahuas. Yeah, they rescued me from probably getting remarried. Come on. You know, these dogs are incredibly helpful to all of our lives, and I think that's what it's all about. I'm glad they can't talk, though, because I don't need to have anybody know how many times I come down in the middle of the night for something to eat.
Please, always adopt dogs. Never buy them. And always spay or neuter.
Do you travel with your dog?
Of course. My pets are part of our family.
Me too. I take Daisy with me everywhere. Right, Daisy? So how do you find out what hotels welcome your dog?
I read Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog.
Sounds perfect for planning our next vacation. Right, Daisy?
It is. Their motto is Leave No Dog Behind, and they have great hotel and destination reviews.
Where can I find the magazine?
Go online to FidoFriendly.com.
I will for sure. Come on, Daisy. We're off to find our next adventure.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Welcome, my friend. If you love your animals and you're crazy about your animals, this is the place for you. Reach out to Dr. Debbie, your dog father, Joey Villani, directly from the Animal Radio app for your iPhone and Android. It's a free download. There's a new feature on it. I noticed in the update they have all the recalls and the latest news that really affect you and your pets. So it's always good to have that little puppy there for you. Let's see. Oh, Steve Garvey this hour. Yes, this is his third appearance on Animal Radio. Did we figure out if he was a Hall of Famer? Don't think he is. Everyone went to look. No Hall of Famer. But he does have, I know, a big old dog, big 100 and at least 40-pound Rottweiler.
Wow.
Yeah, that's big.
Wonder if that dog sleeps in bed with him.
We'll have to find out.
Is that personal to ask that kind of question?
No, not at all.
It's okay.
On any other show, but not on an animal show.
As long as you're only asking if the dog is sleeping with him. We're not going to ask any other details.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You don't ask who else is in the bed.
Okay, so now I know what to say and what not to say. First, your phone calls. Hey, Don, how are you doing?
Oh, very good, thank you.
Where are you calling from today?
Auburn, Pennsylvania.
Is it a beautiful day there?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, how can we help you? We have the whole team here for you.
I recently adopted a cat that was being taken care of by someone else, and we took the cat in, and we'd like to see if we'd be able to take her in our RV. And I was just calling to ask if there were any special tips. I've had her in a couple times just without it moving, and she seems to be okay, but I just wondered if there were any special tips that I could have to make things go a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the first thing is kind of what you're doing already is to get Kitty to expose to the RV and let her investigate it and kind of smell around, get accustomed to the environment. That's a big thing. And making sure that, you know, it's a positive experience. So, you know, maybe even putting her food in there, allowing her to eat while she's checking things out. And, you know, just kind of small bouts of time with that. And then I work up to turning the vehicle on without it moving and just letting her get used to the sounds, the vibrations, all that kind of thing. And if you pick up that she's
on the right track.
yeah. It's all basically a desensitization program. So we just want her to get used to every bit of the sight of it, the vibration, the sound of it. And when you do actually travel with your kitty, until she becomes a seasoned traveler, I do recommend keeping her in a kennel or in a cat carrier. And there's a couple of reasons. One is we don't want her to get frightened and hide somewhere while you're driving. But the other reason is because we want to make sure she feels safe and secure. And sometimes when a vehicle, especially an RV, is moving, if she doesn't feel steady, she might become more frightened, unsure of herself, and develop a fear of the RV. So just have a very safe, secure, smaller size carrier where she can be cozy and be close to you and know that everything's okay. And you might just take her around the block, you know, the first time. So we're not talking about getting in the car doing a 12-hour haul, want to build up to it. And as long as she's of the kind of personality that she's pretty chill. I have a lot of cat owners that take their cats everywhere with them in their RVs. But kitties that I don't find that are as well suited for the RV lifestyle tend to be those introverted cats, the ones that are a little bit more skittish, fearful, not so confident with new situations. For those kitties, it isn't always a good idea, and it could just be too upsetting for them. So I guess the bottom line is, you know what kind of personality your cat has and if it's something we can train and work with.
There's something that I would like to add.
Yes.
I traveled the country with 5 cats in an RV, and my first question is, does your RV have any slide outs?
Yes, one.
Okay.
Of course, we only put it out when we're camping.
Okay, yes, but be very careful because, believe it or not, there are small holes where an animal, a cat, can get into those slide outs.
So what she's saying, before you do the slide out, do a head count. Make sure you've counted how many.
Yes. Have your cat in the carrier before that slide out moves in or out. Either way, do not have that animal loose while you're doing the slide outs because they can get in there.
If I can add something too, because we used to groom in a resort town years ago in Durango, Colorado. So we had a lot of people that would come in and out and bring their RV. And what we found out was what freaked most animals out the most, more than anything else, was turning on the generator. When the generator went on, that was something that I guess was just a different sound, and they would want to dart out. So that's another thing. I'd make sure you'd have that on, so they get used to all the sounds and sights and everything that goes on. You know, as if I would make believe, like Dr. Deb said, as you go when you go around the block, and that you're going somewhere to camp, and everything that you would do when you were getting ready to start your vacation,
like the generator,
I would mimic exactly. I would mimic that. You know, turn on the music, turn on the television, turn on the generator, the air conditioning, everything that's going to make a little bit of a little bit of noise and different sounds, and let them get used to it.
And then
one more thing.
Yes, one more thing.
No matter how much you try, they will get out. They'll sneak between. Have ID. Have a collar with your number, a way that people can reach you if your cat gets out.
And microchipping. Otherwise, you'll find yourself staying in a city for a long time waiting for your cat to return.
Yes,
she is microchipped.
Good.
This is the first cat we ever thought we might take, so she is microchipped. And all those are great ideas.
Put a breakaway collar on her with contact.
You can tell we've all traveled on the road with our animals.
Yes, absolutely.
We actually used to have a big animal radio vehicle. We travel across the country with 5 cats from Petco to Petco.
Yes.
And those are the tips that we learned from it.
Yes.
So hopefully you have a fun time.
Well, we'll give it a try, and if it doesn't work, she'll have to stay home. We never tried it before, and like I say, she's a rescue cat. We only have her 3 months, estimated 1.5 to 3 years old. She's not very friendly with other people, but we figure it's a new environment, so we'll give it a try.
Yeah, she may have a blast. Like Boog, the studio cat, absolutely loves it. And in fact, when the vehicle was stopped, after we would return from places, he'd want to go back out to the vehicle to hang out in the vehicle.
We just let him go out in the yard and hang out in the RV.
So hopefully that's your experience.
I sure hope so. Well, thanks for your advice very much.
Take care of yourself, Dawn. Marilyn, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
Where are you today?
San Luis Obispo.
How can we help you? Dr. Debbie is right here.
Well, I have a almost 12-year-old dog. Her name is Zoe. She's Australian Shepherd. No, excuse me, Queensland Heeler and Chow. And she has the body of a Queensland Heeler, but the red hair of a Chow, but no black tongue.
Very interesting sounding. She must be a furry gal then.
Well, she's been losing hair. I've been trying to give her flaxseed oil. It helped before. I don't know why, but she goes through periods of hair loss. But that wasn't the reason I was calling you.
Okay.
But that's another thing. Zoe likes variety in her dog food. I always get her good food. Right now she's eating Pedigree dog food. But occasionally, and she'll do this maybe several days in a row, then maybe not do it for 2 or 3 weeks. But she'll take the rug that she lays on and covers the dog food bowl with the food in it.
Okay.
So.
And this is the food that she's been eating. So is it something that you're switching the diet and she's covering up a recent change in the food?
No, because I give her different varieties, but she'll be eating it, and then all of a sudden she'll decide to cover it, and she'll scoot her blanket over it and cover it, push it under a table. Mm-hmm. But she definitely covers it. And so I tell her no, because sometimes she knocks over the water bowl in the meantime.
Yeah.
So I have no idea why she does that. And she's very smart. You know, she's never given other problems. But.
Well, and I'm not really sure that this is a problem per se. I think what Zoe's doing in this situation is very likely just a natural instinct. You know, dogs and cats, you know, they, in the wild, they want to actually make sure they get their own food, and they want to either save it for later, or they're going to keep it away from any predators or competition that might be coming around. So burying their food, or at least hiding it, isn't an unnatural behavior. So she may very well just be displaying that kind of instinct. So call it a personality quirk or what have you. But now, if she wasn't eating that food, then I often see dogs and cats both that will try to cover up a food if they don't particularly like the smell of it. And I can tell you firsthand, I see that in the hospital setting all the time when I have a nice prescription healthy food I want them to eat, and they come up to it and they just look and sniff, and those feet start covering the towels over the food. And that's I don't really care for this very well. You know, this smells. I just don't want this. But I think in your situation, she's probably just trying to hoard that for later.
Well, I know she never empties the whole bowl at one time.
Ah.
You can leave her food out all day.
There you go.
And so she'll eat a portion and keep the rest for later. But she seems to like it when she has flaxseed oil in it. And that had helped with her hair a while ago, so... Okay, so that's it.
It's pretty common behavior. I guess Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, does this, Judy?
She takes out, if she has little chunks of food, she takes it out and she hides it around the living room in her blanket and stuff. And then I'll see her like an hour later, she'll go and she'll eat it.
She's very busy working. This is her job, really.
No, she buries it.
And bury.
I'm afraid if I ever move, I'm going to find chunks of food all over the place that I don't know about.
Well, Zoe does that, but she'll just leave it. Take some out and leave it right beside the bowl.
I think she's really smart. She just gets the blanket and covers it. That's we teach that one to Ladybug.
Keeping it fresh.
Well, thank you for calling and listening today on KVEC.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book, no matter what genre. Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
Dogs or cats?
horse or emu. Animals are people too.
Des Moines resident Clarence Fenton was recently charged with driving under the influence of drugs. His dog's drugs. Authorities say the phenobarbital that was in his bloodstream when he crashed into a utility pole with his car had been prescribed by a vet. 47-year-old Fenton said he took what he thought were the doctor-prescribed antidepressants when police reports show his car hit the pole. His blood work showed that Fenton had actually taken seizure control pills prescribed for his dog, Saturn. Tammy Noble of the Poison Control Center said the story is more common than you'd think. People often take their pet's heartworm medication. Ew. This would be a good time to remind you to read the labels of any medication you're taking.
I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. We're moments away from Steve Garvey making his third appearance here on Animal Radio, talking animals again. He has a few of them.
Yes,
big dog,
does.
I understand. Like a 140-pound Rottweiler who's probably grown since the last time we talked.
Big dog.
That's a big boy.
Wouldn't want that dog in bed with me or have to clean up after that dog. That dog's poops would be the size of Ladybug. I'm just going
bigger.
Like, yeah, maybe
okay.
Even bigger.
Ladybug might disappear in that.
We'll head back to the phones in just a couple of seconds here. By the way, Lori broke some news last hour. She told us that there's a link between schizophrenia and cat ownership. And that might explain a lot around.
Yeah,
here. So most cat owners are nuts.
Answers a lot of questions.
So what do you think, Doc? You know I'm kind of crazy.
I think cat people are... I think they're special anyways. I think cat people have a lot of great energy. And are they being made crazy by their cats? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to know. Crazy cat people.
Hey, did you know Steve Garvey was a two-time All-Star MVP in 74 and 78?
Yeah, he's actually 10-time All-Star selection. Also World Series champion.
No, and MVP.
Oh, MVP, yeah. 1974, I believe, on that. And 78.
Okay.
Yeah, 1974 and 78 on that. Because I'm so good at the sports.
Oh, yeah, you know all the stats, don't you, Hal?
I can tell you how many touchdowns he's made.
Okay. Well, if you can, you're better than me.
So Steve Garvey on the way right here on Animal Radio. Rachel Gitlin is joining us. Hi, Rachel. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Very good. You're with Cats versus Cancer. It's kind of a unique idea what you're doing. Tell listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cats versus Cancer is something a little different. It's a nonprofit site run entirely by volunteers. And what it is essentially a site that really leverages the fact that everyone loves cats, especially on the internet. So it's really just aggregating a bunch of really fun, unique cat content from around the web, putting it in one place, and then using the advertising revenue along with direct donations towards cancer research.
Is it human cancer research or animal cancer research?
It is human currently, but we are looking to pet options in the future as well.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, we all love cat videos.
Oh, it's like you say, it's a rabbit hole. You get watch one, and then you see another and another, and the next thing you know, you look up, and it's been over an hour.
Exactly. That's our goal. Spend an hour on the site, and then all of that time really goes towards a good cause, which is something different that, you know, hasn't really been done before.
So how's it working out so far?
It's working out great. We launched December 1st, so it's really just trying to gain as much traction and visibility as we can so that, you know, because it is based on time spent on site. So it's been great. You know, we partner with various organizations, a different charity each month. A lot of them are kind of smaller, looking to get some awareness themselves. So we kind of have similar goals in that way. And the ones we've been working with thus far really just, they help ease kind of the financial burden associated with cancer treatment. You know, whether that be like taking care of simple household bills or helping people through rehab or helping the family in certain ways. So it's kind of a unique twist
in that respect as well.
Are you soliciting donations from the people viewing, or are there advertisers that are putting the funds towards this?
Yeah, so the main goal is just advertising. So the time that you spent on the site, you don't have to donate anything. You know, our hope is just that you go on, you enjoy the content, you're watching the videos, you're clicking on different articles, hopefully you're sharing them, you know, on social, and then that time that you spent on site, it just generates dollars based on the advertising. You can, of course, donate directly as well, which goes towards that, you know, charity of the month, but it's kind of twofold, but mainly, you know, our goal isn't to request money directly through donations. It's really just, you know, spend time on our site, have fun doing so, and that time goes towards a good cause.
So who has the job of going through millions of videos to find the cat videos that you feature?
There's a few of us, but mainly the founders, Tom O'Connor and Eddie Pena, kind of go through and, you know, source all of this information, vet it all, and create all of the fun articles that you see on the site.
Well, very cool. I'm going to go check it out right after the show.
Wait till after the show, Hal, because we'll never see you again.
Yeah, catversuscancer.org is the website. We'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. Rachel, thanks so much for telling us all about it.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the site and be sure to check us out on social as well.
I will do that. There you go. Those young kids these days.
I think it's a great idea.
Sure,
yeah. Why
sure.
not think of...
Take advantage of us crazy cat people. And our mental disease.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this hour. What do you have coming up this hour?
Well, you know, we see dogs helping people in so many different places, in hospitals, in nursing homes, at schools, you know, with military members. And now we'll tell you about the latest place where dogs are helping humans emotionally. Coming up.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
Hi, I'm Lori Brooks. Dogs are used in all kinds of ways to help humans. And in the news today, another way that dogs are being used to help people feel better emotionally. Funeral directors, would you believe, say dogs, especially trained therapy animals, can lighten the often awkward, tense atmosphere that we experience at a wake or a funeral service. And sometimes those dogs, they say, seem to know exactly who might need their emotional help. It turns out that dogs are increasingly being offered as a source of comfort to mourners at American funeral homes. Statistics on this are not being kept. However, a spokesperson for the National Funeral Directors Association says, we hear from members that more and more of them are bringing animals into funeral homes, whether it's a dog or a cat is up to them, whether it's a certified therapy dog or not, or just an extremely well-behaved family pet, but they say those dogs and therapy pets are working. Now, we're not trying to be morbid with this talk of funerals and things with pets, but if you had to be laid to rest somewhere, wouldn't it be much better to be resting next to your pets who passed before you? I think so. That is exactly what some people in Germany are able to do for real now. After too many requests to count, the German Cemetery Association is now offering pets and people adjoining urn spaces. The cost is between $1,100 and $1,600, although they say the ashes of pet owners and their animals will now have the chance to sit side by side. Cremations are still legally required to be carried out separately, and Germany is home to 28 million pets. That's the third largest number in Europe, quite a bit. A new study published last month also suggests that Germany now has the lowest birth rate in the world. And as that number continues to plummet, critters, creatures, our pets, they sure look set to become an even more integral part of the family. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It is time for a Lucy Pet Moment brought to you by the Lucy Pet Foundation. And joining us is former Major League Baseball first baseman, the legendary Steve Garvey. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I need you as my PR man. That was a great introduction.
Well, I'm thinking this is the third time that you've been on Animal Radio. The first time, July 4th of 2010. And you were telling me about Bear and Charlotte. I don't know if they're still in your lives. They're Cocker Spaniels?
Cocker Spaniels, yeah. And we've also we've added Spartacus now, who's a Rottweiler.
Like 140 pounds, right?
Yes, 140 pounds. And we've stabilized him. We've leaned him out and he's faster now, just as strong but faster. But, we love our pets and our dogs. And about 2010 was the first time that we had an opportunity to meet Joey and Linda Herrick. And Joey had gone through the Dodgers to contact me and asked me if I would come and coach his son's traveling team.
Wow.
And come to find out, he was a season ticket holder, and he loved baseball as much as I loved dogs. So we were a match made in heaven, and that began a relationship that's lasted over these years. And I had a chance to work with Joey with Natural Balance, and now with the Lucy Pet Foundation.
Joey Herrick, who, of course, was the, just to bring listeners up to date, was the drummer, I believe, for the John Davidson Band, and he founded, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. He started Natural Balance and sold it, and now he started the Lucy Pet Foundation, doing incredible work in the L.A. area, spaying and neutering and taking care of animals, usually for people that can't otherwise afford this medical care.
Either
absolutely
free or reduced cost.
So he's brought you into this fold too, huh?
Well, we have a lifelong friendship now and so much in common. And once Natural Balance sold, Joey had always, he's a great marketer and thinker, and he always wanted to set up a foundation. And running the Natural Balance Foundation included helping a variety of different pet-related causes. But he started the Lucy Pet Foundation in 2013 and put over $1 million of his own money into it. So talking about somebody stepping up to the plate and putting together something that he really believes is heartfelt, and the amount of effort that he's put into it relative to the amount of success now in which the Lucy Pet Foundation is able to support a number of animal welfare projects. And we have two buses that travel around simply to focus on spay and neutering. And
I call them the magic buses because I think a lot of magic happens there.
Big blue magic bus.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fascinating when you walk inside and see what's going on in there and so much good they're doing.
They're state-of-the-art surgery units, really.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and they travel all around Southern California. And you know, now the focus is on generating more funds to expand the work of these buses and more. So, it's a foundation that's really making inroads on saving pets and helping them, along with providing peace of mind for their owners.
How wonderful is that? And, of course, Spartacus. Can you get Spartacus involved at all with the foundation, perhaps in some kind of spokes dog kind of fashion?
Well, he's a given. You know, he comes with a Garvey. So, and he's really kind of a pussycat for a, you know, a Rottweiler. I mean, I hate to say that, and I hope he doesn't hear, but he loves the girls. You know, my mother-in-law will come into the house, and I'll go give her a hug, and he'll wedge right between us as if, Hey, wait a second. This is my girlfriend here.
Go ahead, Judy. Go.
Yes,
you asked.
I have to ask. You know, you say Spartacus comes between you and you're meeting people. Does Spartacus sleep in the bed with you?
Oh, no. 140 pounds?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
That would be crazy. I couldn't do that.
He'd take up the bed.
Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, every now and then, you know, I'll get up in the middle of the night once in a while, and I'll go to step, and there'll be a nice, big, warm, fuzzy pillow right under my seat right there.
Aww.
But he usually sleeps in Sean Fitzpatrick, our 16-year-old son's room. And we have seven kids, and Sean's the last of the litter, and he and Spartacus are really buddies now. So,
oh, that's good.
And by the way, at 140 pounds, he pretty much sleeps where he wants to.
Yeah.
But not on the bed.
Oh, see, when you got up, I thought you were going to say you get up and he sneaks into your warm bed while you're not looking.
That's right. No, absolutely not.
We were just talking with one of our calendar ladies who tells us about the events that are happening around the country that are pet related. And we were talking about Bucks baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates at PNC Park. They're having a dog and human night where you bring your dog to the baseball game. And I just thinking that would be so confusing for all the dogs just seeing the baseball. They want to go chasing after the baseball, I'm thinking. But do they? No,
they are very successful. And Natural Balance really started the Bark in the Parks, and we did, gosh, over 50 of those over, I think, 4 or 5 year period there. From the Texas Rangers ballpark to City Field in New York to Dodger Stadium to AT&T in San Francisco, and the concept is simply that, bring your dog to the game. Usually 2 hours before, we'd do a what we call the pup rally outside the gates of center field or down one of the lines, and we'd have contests like the dog that looks most like its owner, and the biggest dog, and the smallest dog, and the one with the best theme. Normally, if it was Dodger Stadium, the dog dressed up, like a Dodger. And about 45 minutes before the game, we would do a parade around the warning track of the stadium, and it was extremely popular.
Well, I thank you for spending time with us today. Always fun when we talk, and hopefully you'll go give Spartacus and Bear and Charlotte a big old hug from all of us here at Animal Radio.
Oh, absolutely. It's great to be with you again. And for all of our listeners, please go to LucyPetFoundation.org and read up about the foundation, wonderful things we're doing. And, of course, if you'd like to donate, that'll go towards the foundation and raising money for more of our vans that'll be able to do the many wonderful things that we do today.
All right, it's Vinny Penn coming at you again on Animal Radio with the Party Animal segment. I know a lot of you out there listening are pet lovers to like the 10th degree. And I've heard this story a million times before where somehow people wind up having the same hairdo as their pet. And I have seen funny photos on Jay Leno, not that I watch that show regularly or wherever. But I've never seen it live and in person until the other day. I was picking my son up at daycare in a neighborhood that I don't really go to. And I've heard the legend of this woman, and she was out walking her dog. And listen, the hairdo was so identical, it has to have been done on purpose. She has to be taking a picture of her dog. They even had like the same ribbon or whatever in their hair. She has to be going to her salon and saying, could you make me look like this? To which the stylist must say, well, God already took care of the face. Are you out there really doing this? Doing your hair like your dog's or doing your dog's hair like yours? This is terrifying. This is a movement that need be stopped. As a matter of fact, why don't you inundate the Animal Radio, the general, or Hal Abrams inbox, as a matter of fact, with photos. Maybe we could start posting the ones who have a contest of sorts. And the prize could be therapy. Vinny Penn, Party Animal on Animal Radio.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143.
That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Let's head to the phones. I believe we have Will on the phones. Hey, Will, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for accepting my call.
Of course.
Debbie, I've got she's a half-breed golden retriever and fox terrier, and she's almost a year old, and I've had her checked out for worms. She's up current on her shot, but it seems like every time after she eats, probably 30 minutes, she throws up. She's not digesting her food. Is it the food that's wrong, or what can you tell me?
Okay. I'm sorry. How old was she again? I didn't catch up.
Okay. She's almost a year old.
Well, the first thing with puppies or young dogs that we look at is definitely going to be parasites. So that's always one of the first things that we look at. So checking a stool sample and then doing a good round of deworming is always indicated. If
okay,
that's
I
been
gave
done,
her a worming pill. Yes.
Okay. And I would also just make sure that you do have an actual parasite test done, because a lot of times we can deworm and not really get everything that's truly going on, because there are different dewormers, and especially out in my area here, a lot of people think we don't actually have certain types of worms, so they don't do these things, and you can actually have other types of parasites, microscopic ones, other than little worm critter type things. So definitely make sure you follow through with that. Now, the other thing would be, food-wise, is if a puppy particularly is eating very fast, a lot of times they may vomit afterwards. So one strategy that I might suggest would be to slow down the process of eating. And we could do this by doing a lot of different things. You can actually put a smaller bowl and invert it inside your dog's bowl so that they kind of have to slow down and kind of work around the barrier, if you will, so that we don't gulp as much air and inhale that food too quick. That's one thing. And then also feeding smaller, more frequent meals can kind of help with that. But if it's the particular food that we determine that, you know, maybe is a cause of that, we may look at doing a food change to something different.
I'm feeding her kibbles and bits. And that's what the other dogs eat that I've got. And it doesn't bother them. Is kibbles and bits a good thing for her?
Well, you know, I can't say it's good or bad. I'd say that, like I said, the first step would be check her for worms. That would be very important. The second thing would be slow down her eating. And then I would talk about, well, maybe we need to change the food. And one brand of a diet could be perfectly good for one pet, but could not settle well with another. And it's really just a matter of individual systems. You know, just like some people can't eat milk or cheese because they'll be visiting the restroom every 10 minutes. So for pets, we can have the same type of thing where they have what we call a food intolerance, where their system just doesn't thrive on certain components in the food. And it's nothing to say bad about kibbles and bits, but that just not might be the best choice for your baby. Then the other thing we can kind of experiment with is different consistencies of food. So we can go from dry to canned food and seeing one might settle better with the other. But with a young baby like that, I really look at, you know, just an overeager eater, and that perhaps we're just inhaling that food faster than we can actually think about it.
You said you gave her a pill for worming. Is that something you just got at the store? Was that something your veterinarian prescribed?
I got it from a Purina store.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that too. I mean, it sounds like you've got good intentions, but it is very important with deworming that we make a sensible approach to this. So we want to do the right deworming at the right schedule. And especially, you know, a lot of dogs will deworm when they're pups every 2 weeks to every 4 weeks. So just giving them one dose may not necessarily take care of any kind of issues that could be lingering there. So, yeah, I think that's how you were probably getting at there.
And you know what? I also think that Dr. Debbie, she's very nice. She's very politically correct. But I'm not. And kibbles and bits ain't the food for any dog. So, but we appreciate your call. I hope things go well. Let us know if you need a follow-up. We're here. Okay? Thank you, Will. Hey, Steve. How are you?
Hello, Hal and Judy. Nice to talk to y'all.
Hey,
nice to talk
Steve.
To you.
I'm your over-opinionated truck driver that calls in every once in a while.
I missed you.
I kind of got it figured out, but I want to run it past you. Our Boston Terrier started having diarrhea this morning.
Okay.
And I'm not there. I'm here in Virginia, and she's over in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm kind of figuring it's going to be with when the girlfriend washes the floor, uses this orange citrus stuff. And, of course, the dogs are going to walk across it. But it's only affecting her that her the diarrhea is, like, yellow and milky almost, is what my girlfriend said. Mm.
Okay. But you have multiple dogs, and she's the only one that's sick?
Yeah. Our Frenchton and our French Bulldog aren't having that problem.
And this is a citrus oil-based cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not overly sold with the idea that that's particularly the cause. A lot of the citrus-based cleaners do have lemon oils or citrus oils, which, you know, they can be irritating to the surface, potentially, of the, like, surface of their skin. But I really can't say that I've seen a pet develop a GI upset from that, just from traipsing through the area that's been treated with that.
Right.
Now, if a pet chewed up a bag or a bottle of it and got into an oral ingestion in that way, that might be maybe a different thing. So I might actually be looking for potentially another cause for this yucky diarrhea. And there's no great science when we talk about colors of diarrhea, but when someone says yellow or milky, you know, I get a little curious, and I'm looking for infection potentially in those situations. So, you know, I would certainly, you know, make sure that there's not been any kind of rapid diet change, something that she's been offered off the table. Make sure we get a stool sample checked over to your veterinarian, because sometimes it could be a chronic parasite, it can be a type of a bacterial infection that can attribute that type of problem, even if it is an intermittent one. So I'd want to make sure we look at that.
There you go. Once again, it has sailed by, and I'm looking out the studio windows. Beautiful weather. I encourage you to get the dogs, get the iguanas, get all the animals, take them out right now, and bring the Animal Radio app along with you. Download that right now. It's a free download. I don't see why you haven't done it yet. Oh, you have. I'm sorry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.